you got your Bible, say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God a shout of victory, would you? Amen. Open your Bible, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about being a kingdom builder all month long. And we're talking about really how to get our priorities right, how to have clarity for our life, focus for our life. We're talking about how to make a difference with our life, having a meaningful life, a purpose to get up every day of our life, a purpose to persevere. You know, somebody said, if you have hope in the future, you have power for the present. That's perseverance, right? So we're talking about this whole month of being a kingdom builder, building God's kingdom. Now, I grew up in the church, and I would hear this verse taught on Matthew 6:33, and they would tell us to seek God's kingdom, but they wouldn't tell us how. And I want to know how. I know that the Bible says that that's our priority, that we're to put His kingdom and His righteousness first, but how do you do it? Well, all month, we've been answering questions. What is the kingdom of God? What does it entail? What does it mean, kingdom of God? There's a phrase in the Bible, kingdom of heaven, and there's a phrase called the kingdom of God. Two different things. So what does it mean that the kingdom of God, what is it? We've been answering that. And then number two, we've been answering, how do you seek the kingdom of God? If it says that we're to aim at, that that's to be our priority, is to build His kingdom and not our kingdom, that we're put on this earth to fulfill God's will for our life and build His kingdom, well, how do you seek His kingdom? And the third question is, am I seeking His kingdom first? What is it? How do you do it? And the third question we have to ask ourselves, am I today seeking God's kingdom with my life? So we're looking at that, but this weekend, this is our third service, and I'm talking about this weekend of being a kingdom builder and your inheritance. Being a kingdom builder and the inheritance of that comes with being a kingdom builder. So again, I'm going to talk about being a kingdom builder and my inheritance. What am I going to talk about? You got it. Being a kingdom builder and your inheritance. Now, listen very carefully. You're praying for me that I communicate because I'm not a preacher. Preachers proclaim, and we need them. But teachers explain. Preachers, we need them. They proclaim, but teachers, and many of you are educators out here today, a teacher will explain. So my job description is to take Scripture and make it practical for you and me by the help of the Holy Spirit. My job description, my mission, if I choose to take it, which I have, mission impossible, if I choose to take it, I have, is to explain Scripture to you and I so we can go out, have a takeaway, and apply it in our life and be blessed in being a doer of the Word of God. So I want to talk to you about building the kingdom of God, seeking the kingdom of God, and the inheritance that comes with it. Now, how do we build God's kingdom? Here it is today, by advancing it. We build God's kingdom by advancing the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is made up of local churches. Local churches all over the world make up the universal church. So the local church makes up the universal church, and the universal church contains the kingdom of God. So that's what we're to be preaching, is this gospel of the kingdom. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are declared and called the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about the kingdom of God. And the mission of the church is to send that gospel, good news, about the kingdom all over the world. So when you and I are advancing the kingdom of God, we are seeking the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And you advance the kingdom of God. Now watch the progression. We seek God's kingdom by advancing God's kingdom. And by advancing God's kingdom, it means building the local church, causing its message to go further and wider than ever before by spreading the gospel of the kingdom. So we build the kingdom of God. We seek the kingdom of God by advancing his kingdom. Everybody say advancing. And you and I advance the kingdom of God. Here it is. Listen very carefully. Through good works. Good works advances the local church, which is a part of the kingdom of God. So through our good works, we are advancing the kingdom. Now notice the kingdom and those in the kingdom that are advancing it, with that comes an inheritance. And it's important for you and I to understand that our works are not connected to our salvation. I want to say that disclaimer right up front so you don't think I'm teaching heresy. That works are not connected to our salvation. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot be good enough, work hard enough to get saved. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by grace and faith in the work of Jesus Christ, right? We can't work our way for our salvation. Our salvation is not connected to our works, but listen up, our inheritance is connected to our good works. Our salvation is not connected to our good works, but our inheritance or our reward in heaven is connected to our good works. Am I making sense so far? How do you seek the kingdom of God? Question, answer, by advancing the kingdom of God. Question, how do you advance the kingdom of God? Through good works. Every time that you and I were an usher or a greeter, or we work in the children's, or we work in the youth department, or we work in an adult, we do a classroom, or we're in facilities, or every time you give, every time we pray, every time we help someone, we're advancing the kingdom of God. So we seek the kingdom by advancing the kingdom, and we advance the kingdom through good works. And your good works determines your inheritance in the hereafter. This life that you and I are living today, we're in training for the next life. We are in preparation. This is a prelude. The 70, 80, 90, 100 years is nothing compared to a billion years throughout eternity. Right now, we're in training for the hereafter. And the good works that we do for God is advancing his kingdom. And our good works is not connected to our salvation. We're saved without any good works. But our good works is connected to our inheritance. The Bible says that every time we do something for God, it says we're storing up treasure in heaven. I want to talk to you about that inheritance today. You know, about 35 years ago, my hero, my dad, died. He died way too young. My father died at age 56 years old. He died of rheumatoid arthritis. And he died way too early. He was my hero. He was my mentor. My father was a hard worker. He was of that World War II generation, and he was a hard worker. And you know, his love language was to all of us in the family, I provided a roof over your head, food on the table, I take care of you, and that's how I love you. And we understood that. That was awesome. And my father was also a great example for me. I mean, seriously, every time the doors were open in church, he took us to church. And every night before he went to bed, when I was there, my bedroom was across from their bedroom. I would look in there and my father would be on his knees every night. My father, he was my best friend. He was my hero. He was an example in the spiritual and the natural. He was a hard worker, and he was had a love for God. He was a deacon in the church. He was the church treasurer. of a mega church of over 1,000 people. And you know, he did all of that. And I loved my father. But when my father passed away, he didn't leave any inheritance, so-called, in the natural. When my father passed away, the week before, he had gone to Kmart and got a freezer for his garage. Because every year, you know, living in Iowa, he would have a cow. They would have a cow butchered, and they would get the beef, and they put it in the freezer, and it would last all year long. Oh, how I miss my mother's roast on Sunday afternoons after church. Whew, I can smell it right now. And, you know, he would do that. But what happened is he went and bought this new freezer from Kmart, put it in his garage, and then that same week he died and he passed away. And so we went home to help with the funeral and the funeral arrangements. And I remember my mother saying, "Dave, would you mind loading up the freezer and taking it back to Kmart and returning it and getting a refund? Because I need the money off of that just to make it through the funeral." My father didn't leave me much in the natural as far as an inheritance, but boy, he left me something much more. He left me a spiritual inheritance that you can't buy with money. And aren't you glad today that if you're a Christ follower, that you have an inheritance that money can't buy? You have an inheritance that as a joint heir with Christ, that this inheritance is for the hereafter, and you're in training now. It's in prelude for the next life, the hereafter, and your good works advance the kingdom, and your good works are connected to your inheritance. Are you with me so far? Matthew 6 and verse 31, let's look at it. Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry." Boy, that's good to know right after the election, right? Because I said before, early in the service at communion, that some people, their prayers were answered for President Trump, and they're elated and they're having a party. But the other half is in self-destruction and self-pity. They're having a pity party, and they think that the devil himself is the new president. Aren't you glad, like I said, I told you, I equipped you, I prepared you, that whoever is in the White House is not in control of your life. God is your source, and whoever wound up there, don't let it ruin or wreck your life. Amen. So notice that he says, don't worry. He wouldn't have told us to do it if it was impossible. So he said, don't worry. Pastor, what's the big deal? I worry. Does it really matter? I grew up with champion warriors. Pastor, I'm a worry wart, and I'm proud of it. I tell people I'm a worry wart. Well, I just want to give you some light on that. You don't want to live a life of worry. It's not God's best. It's not God's will. Worry means a divided mind, a divided mind, a divided mind. Worry means to have a divided mind. And when you have a divided mind, let a double-minded person realize they're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Worry stops your prayers from being answered. The Bible says that the cares of this world can choke the word. Worry keeps the Bible from working in our life. Worry causes our life to be full of confusion. And my brother and sister, when our life is full of confusion and we don't have clarity and we can't see our future, we slow down. Come on now. Well, you ever thought about it? You know, I was thinking this morning as an illustration, and I don't know if you've ever been in the Mojave Desert out in California, and I've been there, and you're driving along for miles, and you come down into the valley, and it's flat for miles and miles. And you can see for miles, and it's just straight, and it's flat. And you know, you know what comes to my mind now? Probably not your mind, because you're more spiritual than me. And I look around and the angels are jumping out of my car because I see no highway patrolmen. And because I can see for miles and it's clear, I start to accelerate. Now, no matter how much horsepower you have in your car or truck, 300, 400, 500, 600, and even some today with the Hellcat car that's out there today, over 700 horsepower, if your future is foggy, you have to slow down. So you and I don't want to live a life of worry, because it will slow you down. Jesus said, don't worry, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, car you're going to drive, your career, your house, the groceries, your job, your future. Verse 32, For Joe Sinner down the road, he's after all these things. What things? Car, house, job, vacation, retirement. Whoops, there is no retirement in the Bible. Investments, portfolio. He's thinking about things. He's thinking about his bucket list. And notice that Jesus said that in the next verse, verse 33, Jesus, I want to know the antidote. I want to know the answer. Jesus, this world is full of stress and worry and fear and uncertainty. And Jesus, how can I rise above worry? How can I accelerate my spiritual growth? How can I move further and faster than ever before? How can I get clarity in my life? Oh, here it is. Seek first his kingdom. That's the answer. Get my priorities right. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things, what things? A car, a house, clothes, education for the kids, retirement, which really isn't in the Bible, portfolio, investments. He said, notice the first part of the verse, he said, our job is to keep his kingdom first. And how do I do that? By advancing it. And how do I do that? With good works. And what does good works do? It causes me to build up an inheritance in the hereafter. Now, you and I are to do A, and he said he would do B. What did he say? He said, I would. He said, your heavenly Father knows everything that you need, and he would provide everything you need and besides. You know, your heavenly Father, one of his names of the Trinity, one of his names of God the Father, God the Son, one of his names is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Now, family, do you know what that means actually in the Hebrew? The one who sees ahead and has already provided for you. Jehovah Jireh means the one who sees ahead and has already provided for you. Now, when that sinks in, that will relieve you of stress of how are you going to pay for your kids' education, of what are you going to do if you lose your job, or how are you going to meet your taxes at the end of the year. When you understand that your heavenly Father knows everything that you need, and he's gone before you into the future, and he's already provided for you, that will give you rest from all your stress. Can we have a praise break, family? But the problem is that most Christians, nobody here, but in a galaxy far away, most Christians reverse this. Most Christians act like Joe Sinner, and they're concentrating on things all the time. And they very rarely ever talk about the kingdom of God. They don't even know what the kingdom of God is. They think it's a mystery. It's mystique. It's the clouds. They have no idea between the distinction of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They don't have a clue. They don't even think about it. Where God says if we get our life in order and get our priorities right, and our part is to build his kingdom, his part is to take care of you. Isn't that awesome? So I've decided I'm going to stop trying to do God's part. And I'm going to let God be God and do his part of meeting all my needs now and in the future. And I'm going to start focusing on seeking his kingdom by advancing it through good works, knowing I'm storing up treasure in heaven and inheritance. Amen. Now let me show what I'm talking about from Scripture. Let me build my case. Matthew 5 and verse 5. Let's look at it. Everybody say inheritance. Okay? Matthew 5 verse 5. Now these are the Beatitudes. These are the Beatitudes. These are attitudes that should be in the life of a kingdom builder. And today, what I want to do in these 30 minutes is I want to give you a clearer perspective of your life. Is that cool? You know, yesterday I'm coming to church, our first service, 5 o'clock last night, and I'm coming in on 70, and way up in the clouds over 70 was a hot air balloon. Man, I think they're cool. And I remember growing up in our church, there was a man who owned a hot air balloon, and one time he gave me a ride in it. And I got to ride in this hot air balloon, and he went way up in the clouds, and we got to look down at the cornfields of Iowa and the rolling hills and the cattle, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And you know what it did for me as an Iowa boy looking down on those fields? It gave me a different perspective. I want to give you a different perspective today. Look what it says. Those blessed are the meek. Meek is a teachable person. And as kingdom builders, we've got to have the right attitude and continually learn, right? It said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit. They'll do what? They will inherit. What will they do? Those that are in the kingdom with a kingdom mindset, with Beatitudes, attitudes that should be in the life of a kingdom builder, what are they going to do? They're going to inherit something. Well, what are they going to inherit? The earth. Oh my goodness. Pastor, you know, I really don't care about that because it's so corrupt and so cursed. Yeah, but there's going to be a new earth and there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and they're going to merge. And this earth is going to be burnt up with fire. And on this new earth, watch this now, there's no oceans. There's no sea. So in this new earth, there's more real estate. No oceans. No seas. And in this new earth, there's no sickness, there's no crime, there's no prejudice, there's no racism, there's no bigotry, there's no abortion, there's no incest, there's no meth or cocaine or alcohol, there's no heartache, there's no heartbreak, there's no sorrow, there's no sadness, there's no weariness, there's no stress. And you as a kingdom builder are going to inherit the earth. And the new heaven and the new earth are going to merge together. And you know what? You're going to come right back here. Now, might not be St. Louis. There's going to be cities in that new earth. There might not be St. Louis or Chicago or Birmingham or LA or Miami or Houston like we know it today. But there will be cities in this new earth. Amen. Look at some more scriptures. Can I take you a little deeper? Can we go a little further? Look with me in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. Revelation 2, 26. And he and she who overcomes. How many overcomers do I have here today? I think you're all are overcomers. Online, those watching in Kenya, you're watching. They told me you're an overcomer right now, right there where you are. And he that overcomes is victorious. And he who obeys my commandments to what? The very end. He who is an overcomer, she who is an overcomer and obeys my commandments to the very end, doing the what? Works. Doing the what? Works. Your works are connected to your inheritance in the next life. Your works have nothing to do with your salvation, but everything to do with your rewards and your inheritance. And notice it's not just any works, but it's the works that please him. We have works of the flesh, and God said, I can't honor that. We have works of the spirit, and God said, I will reward that. So notice that the works that please him, I will give you authority. And this is future, folks. This is Revelation. I will give you authority, and I will give you power over the nations. So in the future, in the next life, when the new heaven and the new earth merge and come together and there's no sorrow, there's no sin, there's no curse, there's no poverty, there's no lack, there's no turmoil, there's no anxiety, there's no panic attacks. In that time, he said, there will be nations on the earth. And those of you like you and me who are kingdom builders, he said you would inherit the earth. And on the earth, he said, you would rule and reign over nations. That's amazing. Now, for note takers, you might write down Luke 19. Luke 19. Luke 19. And that's where he talks about those who are faithful with the little, he will make you ruler over much. Does anybody remember that parable? Those of you that are faithful. So notice that your faithfulness here today is connected to your inheritance in the hereafter. Your faithfulness. Listen, when people make fun of you for being faithful to church and the word and your service and commitment and dedication to God, let them make fun all they want to, because you have the big picture. You realize, he said, if you're faithful with the little, he'll make you ruler, ruler, ruler over much. And then he goes on to say, check it out, it's Luke 19. He said, some of you will rule over 10 cities. So in the hereafter, in the new heaven and the new earth, no sea, no ocean, he said, you'll inherit the earth as a kingdom builder, one who's advancing the kingdom, advancing the local church through your good works. He said, some of you are going to rule over nations, and some of you will rule over 10 cities. It may not be St. Louis like we know it, or Houston or LA or New York, but there will be cities in the new heaven and the new earth. And there will be nations. And he said, some of you will rule over 10 cities. And then he went on and said, some of you will rule over 5 cities. So notice, we won't all have the same inheritance. We're not all going to have a house like the White House with white pillars on the same road. We're not going to be on a harp, on a cloud, you know, just worshiping the whole time. He says, some of you will rule over 10 cities. And then he said, some of you will rule over 5 cities. And to the third one, he said, you've been unfaithful what you have. So I'm taking what you have and giving to another, and you'll rule over 0 cities. So that tells me that in heaven, that some of us, our inheritance, we're going to have an inheritance, and others aren't going to have any inheritance. Some of us are going to enter heaven abundantly with an abundant inheritance, and others are just going to get there by the skin of their teeth. Now, granted, I'd rather go to heaven empty-handed than hell. But I don't want to go, and I don't want you to go into heaven empty-handed throughout the eons of time. Some will have an inheritance of over 10 cities, some over 5 cities, and there'll be some who made it to heaven. They were saved, but there were no good works, so there's no inheritance. They didn't care about the local church. They didn't care about church. They didn't care about the ministry and the mission and the mandate to go into all the world. And yes, they're a Christ follower. They made it, but their works didn't please God, so there's nothing to reward. They're up there, but they're up there empty-handed. Do y'all remember in the Bible it says that when you get to heaven, on the first day he has to wipe away, after the rewards are passed out, he has to wipe away the tears. Tears in heaven? After the rewards are passed out, what would that all be about? Well, I'm speculating, granted, but I think it's people crying over what they could have done, what they could have had. If they would have put God's kingdom before their kingdom and realized this life is training for the next life. That my works doesn't save me, but my works guarantee me an inheritance. Can we go a little farther? Oh my goodness. Go ahead, praise break. Let's thank God for coming attractions. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Jesus said, behold, I am coming. Boy, I'm ready for him to come. I am coming, and I will bring, look what Jesus said, I'll bring my wages. Jesus said, I'll bring my wages, and I'll bring my rewards, that's your inheritance, with me, to repay and render to each one just what his or her own actions and own work merit. That's your inheritance. Look at Revelation chapter 1 on the overheads, chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, folks, that's not talking about Bible times. This is the book of Revelation. This is future. Amen. So on this new earth, there's going to be kings that are ruling and reigning over cities and nations according to being a kingdom builder and advancing the local church, advancing the kingdom through their good works. And it says that those people there, he says that the kings of the earth, who are the kings? That's you. We know who the king is. That's Jesus. He's the King of Kings. Folks, this is not a reference to Bible times. This is Revelation future time. And there are going to be kings on the new earth and the new heaven, and the kings are kings of the King. Now, I'm so excited that in this new heaven and this new earth, there's going to be no Republicans, and there's going to be no Democrats, and there's going to be no independents. It's not even going to be a democracy. It's going to be a theocracy. What does that mean? God will rule and reign. He is the King of kings. Oh, hallelujah. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And he has made us, who? The King. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. For him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The King made you to be a king. And he's the King of kings. We know who the Lord is. He's Lord of lords. Hallelujah. What's that mean, Pastor? Big deal. You're excited, but I'm not. You should be, because that means you're going to rule with Christ throughout the eons of eternity. Oh, my goodness. Let's go a little bit farther. I got to hustle. Revelation chapter 5. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. He's made unto us, our God, kings, and he's made us priests, and we will what? Reign on the earth. Now, some are going to reign over 10 cities and some 5, and some aren't going to reign over anything. Granted, they're going to make it. Granted, they're going to be there. They're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but they didn't see the importance of the local church and the kingdom of God. They didn't see the importance of reaching people, helping people, serving people, and serving God, making a difference with what God has given to them. They thought, big deal, you know, I'm going to wait till the end of my life, and then I'll serve God. Don't chance it. Don't take that chance. Don't take that chance. This last Tuesday, I had one of my mentors I was privileged to have come in, fly in from Scottsdale, Arizona. Got to spend the day with him. And he was telling me this Tuesday of the people he's mentored and the relationships, and I'm oohing and I'm wowing. He said, you know, I was a mentor to several cabinet members on different presidents' cabinets. I've been a mentor to this one and that one, and CEO and the natural people, and also in the church. And I'm going, wow. But then when I got to thinking about this verse, I thought, that's cool. All the people that he's worked with, that's honorable, that's great, that's admirable. But in the future, guess what? You and I are going to work with, rule with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's enough to get excited about, my brother and sister. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, as the team comes out. These shall make war with the Lamb. You got to be crazy to make war with Jesus, don't you? He's the Lamb. I mean, you got to be crazy to go against the war against the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, we're talking about it being a kingdom builder. How do I do that? Advance God's kingdom. How do I do that? Through good works. What will that do for me? It's connected to my inheritance in the next life. And notice he said, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords. Wow. And King of what? Hello, lords. Hello, kings. You're going to rule. You're coming right back here. But it's going to look a whole lot different. It's going to be a perfect world. It's going to be a perfect world. And he has made us kings and lords, that they that are with him are called, notice, called, and then what? Chosen, and then what? Faithful. You know, I've been walking this walk for a long time, and I've seen people called, but yet they don't finish to the end, and they're not faithful. Notice it's very important that when you have the big picture of your future, it gives you momentum, gives you perseverance, gives you drive and motivation to do what you do every day of your life. It actually will cause you to want to work harder for God and do more for God. And notice that your faithfulness is connected to your inheritance. And even when other people laugh and scoff and make fun, God's going to reward it in the next life. Can we stand together? The worship team's going to lead us. And before we go, can we have a little Selah time? Can we just chew on what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us right now? Let's just open our hearts right now and let the Holy Spirit speak to us.